has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning live from Saratoga. Another beautiful morning right in front of Clare Court. Happy to have you join us for a jam-packed show. A little bit later on, we will be joined by Lisa Lazarus, the CEO of the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority. We'll get the update on the implementation of HISA over the past, you know, month and a half or so. They kicked off on July 1st. Saratoga Special segment will be joined by their two interns this year. The intern program at the Special has produced people like Gabby Gaudette and Travis Stone, and we'll talk to the current interns from the Special. And we'll be joined a little bit later on also by Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. They're on a milestone countdown to wins for their stable. They have a horse coming up tomorrow in the Arlington Million. They were participating across the street a few days ago at the sale. We'll catch up on that and much, much more. But I am thrilled to be joined at the top of the show by Wayne Lucas, trainer who entered the Hall of Fame in 1999, four-time Eclipse winner. If my count was right, 25 Eclipse winning horses.
I think under 26. Don't take them away now. Come on.
I'll go with you. I said if my count was correct, but I'll go with you.
Yeah, okay.
Wayne Lucas, thanks for joining us this morning.
They're hard to get. We better keep them. They're a good way of keeping score, too.
Exactly. I was doing a little bio information last night in prep for this, and I think a lot of people are familiar with this because you are nicknamed the coach. But you came out of college with a master's degree in education. You became a teacher and a high school basketball coach. How did you transition into horse racing?
Well, just the opposite. I was into the horses before I became a coach. You know, I did the summer thing all the time through my university career. And then even into that teaching and coaching, you know, I still had the summers. I had the quarter horses. We had a few thoroughbreds, but primarily the quarter horses. And then it kind of, the balance of the income got pushing towards the horses more and more. And so did the passion. I think I was hooked, and I really think this was where I should be, and that's where I should go. So I gave up the teaching career, a pretty good one, and started right out full-time with the horses, and everything fell into place.
And I was also fascinated that, you know, you weren't in one of the major horse racing areas of the country necessarily, but not only did you give up teaching to become a trainer, but you were friends with another teacher, Clyde Rice, Linda Rice's father, who went from teaching to training as well.
Yeah, we grew up a half a mile apart. And you can't believe how many times we ran our ponies down a dirt road that run right between our two properties. I mean, that was the racetrack. And they talk about having 3 to 4 weeks between races. We had 3 to 4 minutes between ours. And we ran those ponies till the wheels came off. But Clyde and I, as we got older, started traveling together. We rodeoed a little bit together. And then pretty soon we started running horses together. And once he got into school, he went to a different university and I did, then our careers separated a little bit, and we've still been dear friends up to he passed away.
As they say, Linda Rice's father, so yeah. the ski honor, a major racing family there as well. Another thing that I think is notable, and you can talk about this over the years, you have kind of been a breeding ground for trainers who have come through your program as assistants and have gone on to brilliant careers themselves. Todd Pletcher, Kieran McLaughlin, Dallas Stewart, George Weaver. Talk about mentoring those people over the years. Mike Maker.
Throw him absolutely. In there, yeah. And there's a couple more you missed. Well, here's the thing. We got to growing, and so I had to have some good assistants. I took my coaching background. You know, a coach, no matter who it is, Nick Saban or whoever it is, they have to, you know, delegate to different people to keep it going. And I took that philosophy, and we went ahead, and we started getting really sharp young guys in the program. And they drank the Kool-Aid. They really, you know, fell right into line. And most of them were there 10 or 12 years. Todd was there about 12, some of them were even longer. I think Mike Maker was there 14 years. But they fell into the program, and they were a tremendous asset. And really, all the things that happened in my career that have been noteworthy probably would never happen without those young guys.
And you have to feel proud to see how successful they've gone on leaving your mentorship.
Oh yeah, I follow them. It's a family deal. Now Todd and I hook up with, we're going to hook up here on the Alabama with Nest and the Philly we have and Secret O. So it's fun to hook up with them. I don't like them. They're whipping up on me pretty regular, and I got to watch them, but I'm so proud of him. You can't believe it.
Yeah. Last night, again, as I say, I was doing some research, and I pulled up an interview you did with our friend Nancy Holthus during the season. We're down in the studio and talked to Nancy by phone a lot during the Oaklawn meet. And she does a great job down there. But I was fascinated. You were talking to her about early on, and folks who aren't familiar with the history of the game, you're one of the first guys who kind of branched out and had strings at different racetracks, and I'm assuming this played into it. You said you had a satellite dish before those were even a thing.
Yes, you know, I was there at California in Arcadia, right back of Santa Anita, and hard to keep track and, you know, visibly see what was going on. So I got in, that was when television was just getting popular with racing. And I get friends with some of the people that know about that stuff, and they said, hell, we can put one on your maintenance building in the backyard. So I had a 21-foot dish, big dish, all kinds of stuff that I couldn't hardly run. And I said, just program it to those two or three racetracks, Arlington, Monmouth, you know, and so forth. And I pulled up the races all the time.
Yeah, satellite dish before satellite dishes were a thing. I like that. Another thing you talked about with her, and I'm always fascinated, and I think it's great, if folks catch you getting a winner, regardless of where it is, as you walk into the winner's circle, you'll look around and pull some kids in and kind of develop new fans. I always thought, what a great idea that is, and I think you have developed new fans, and you can see by the kids and the families, they are very appreciative to come in the winner's circle and get the picture taken.
Absolutely the most satisfying thing I do. Of all the things I've done, that little gesture has been absolutely the most satisfying. The thing about it is that now, you know, I've been around 40, 50 years. I'm going to be 87 in 2 weeks. And just the other day, a guy came to me, and he was standing there when I won with my own filly. And he was standing out there, and he motioned to me when I came out of the winner's circle. He was standing there with a young boy. I didn't see him when I went in. I had two girls, little girls with me. And he said, I want to thank you. He said, 20-some years ago, you took me to the winner's circle. I was 9, and here's my 7-year-old boy, and I'd like to get a picture with you now. I mean, I see that all the time with that gesture. It's so easy. Those kids are so much fun. They're trembling. They're just shaking. They're so excited to be down there, and they say a lot of crazy things, you know, when you get them in there. I asked a kid the other day, I said, did you bet on this horse? He said, no. He said, my dad bet on the one that ran second. I said, what does your mom think of that? He said, well, not too much. I said, do your mom care if you go to the races every day? He says, not if we go every day. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah. But that's a great satisfaction.
No, as I say, it's a nice gesture. And to have somebody come back that many years later and say you helped develop a fan, I think that's very, very nice. We were talking when you sat down and relayed a little bit. You're over on the Oklahoma side of things, and you said you've been in that barn for years and years and years. Just reflect on a guy who has, you know, traveled the racetracks all around the country. Reflect a little bit on Saratoga and what Saratoga's meant to your career and the fans here and whatnot.
Well, I think Saratoga is a pivotal, what I call a pivotal racetrack here, because when you're starting to drive through those Eclipse Awards, as you were talking about earlier, or a championship of any kind, or put them in a position financially, you know, you almost have to run up here. And it means a lot. If you're a trainer or an owner and you got a good horse, you almost have to go through it here. All championships pretty much go through Saratoga. It doesn't matter where anybody else is running. You might pick up a few at the Breeders' Cup, you know, but most of them come right through here. And when you leave here, the ones that are successful are usually divisional leaders at that point. So that from a trainer and owner standpoint is so important. And then being up here at this time of the year with the weather and everything and the ability to run that many turf races and the different dirt races, all distance and everything, this is a hell of a place to be.
Yeah, and I always talk about the fans are so knowledgeable up here. You know, the
are they
in
ever?
Front of these fans has to be kind of special.
That's both good and bad. being recognizable and being somewhat famous, if you want to call it that, is both. I was watching a Garth Brooks documentary the other day, and he talked about how it's all a blessing and a curse. I mean, you try to move through the crowd, you try to get out there, you darn near miss your race. You don't want to say no to the picture takers, you know. And so but it's wonderful that so many people are so knowledgeable up here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I will also relate to you, too, again, seeing you talk to Nancy Holthus down at Oaklawn. I have a sister who lives in Arkansas, so I made a couple of visits to Oaklawn. You kind of winter down there now. I wonder
all
how you
time.
Like Oaklawn. And if you think the same thing I do, I think Hot Springs, the city and the track itself, kind of similar to Saratoga, I think.
A lot. You know, the one thing that is common to both places is the fan base is so enthusiastic. I don't know, there's not a lot going on in Arkansas in you know, January and February maybe. They got a great casino with it, and the fans come out. I mean, I think the attendance in Hot Springs would probably be the highest of anything in the winter, even over Santa Anita and Gulfstream.
Yeah.
But the fans love it. The whole community love it. You go to breakfast someplace, some guy pays for your breakfast. You can't even, you know, buy your own breakfast. But Hot Springs is wonderful.
Yeah, it, again, I think it's very Saratoga-like from the visits I've made. Interested to know, you know, obviously, go down and I pulled up a list. If you go to Equibase and you type in a trainer's name, you can pull in the list of top horses: Serena Song, Lady Secret, Charismatic, Twilight Agenda, Life's Magic, Criminal Type, Tabasco Cat. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I know it's tough, and I won't put you down to an absolute favorite, but do you have two or three or moments with two or three that kind of stand out over the career?
Well, here's the thing. These champions all captivate the audience and you as a trainer, but they're in an era. One era where Serena Song was running, having her good days and everything. She's by far one of the most favorite. Then you go to Lady Secret, and she had her run. Thunder Gulch had his run. So you get into an era. So people say, who's your favorite horse? It's very difficult. I can tell you who's my favorite in the 80s. I can tell you who my favorite is in the 90s and 2000 and so forth. But we've been so blessed with so many and a lot of good fillies. A lot of good fillies, although I think probably the most accomplished horse I trained was Thunder Gulch. What I tried to do with him and what he accomplished. So, but the fillies have been very prominent in our career.
Yeah, certainly. And as I say, the 26 Eclipse winners as well. I'm curious, the Landalucci book came out. I was downtown for a book signing earlier. Mary Perdue was in town. Have you read the Landalucci book?
I haven't read it yet. My wife has. I glanced through it, picked up, you know, a paragraph here and there. It's very accurate. It's very well written. And I would recommend it. You know, a lot of books that if you're the source of them or the trainer or whatever, you pick them up and you say, wow, you know, they missed this. This is not true. This one's very accurate, and it's a very, very good read. It really is. Out of an exceptional filly on a short, short lifespan and career.
Yeah, and as I say, there was a book signing downtown, and I got a chance to leaf through it, and I was kind of
really
impressed
good,
as well.
It's really good.
Let's talk about recently, and we'll just go back the other day. We'll watch a replay of Naughty Gal winning the Adirondack, your seventh Adirondack win. This was her third career start, broke the maiden down at Churchill in the second career start in fine fashion, and looked good the other day winning the Adirondack. Give us a little thought on Naughty Gal and her performance the other day, and what might be next coming up for her.
Well, I think I'm going to point her for the spinaway.
Ah, okay.
I wanted to run this one, get this one under our belt before we headed that direction, but... in this race, it was interesting how wide she is here, and yet she's finishing well way out in the middle of the racetrack. I talked to Lewis in the paddock. He said, I don't think the rail's the place to be, so I'm going to go wide. But she overreacted to him taking her wide, and she really went wide and ended up out there and probably gave up 6-7 lengths right there. Had to regain her momentum and get back in the race. That was a hell of an effort for a filly with no more experience than she's had.
So Spinaway up next for her then.
Spinaway, for I think, is on the target, yep.
I will also mention Summer Promise from earlier in the meet. What's going to be next
Summer
for her?
Promise is a real talented filly. That she's a little bit lighter of frame and not probably as hardy. And so I think I'm going to give her the extra week or two and probably point her, believe it or not, for the Pocahontas at Churchill.
Okay.
Or I might go to Keeneland. You know, the Breeders' Cup's at Keeneland. So going in the, the Alcibiades,
right.
I guess, at Keeneland, getting a two-turn race over that racetrack is pretty important.
Yeah.
So we might head that direction.
Have to ask you about the Kentucky Oaks winner. We're going to watch the Kentucky Oaks here. It's going to be Secret Oath getting it done in the Kentucky Oaks back on May 6th. She's going to be the number one horse here over number four, Nest. You mentioned the face-off earlier. Secret Oath subsequently... tried the Preakness, and then second last time out behind Nest in the Coaching Club American Oaks.
But right here, you're looking at the two best fillies in a long, long time of good fillies. Nest is for real. She's exceptional. And I think Secret Oath is also. These are two really good fillies. If you want to really watch a great rivalry, tune in to the Alabama. If they both show up, this is a hell of a set of horses to go for it.
Did she come out of the coaching club, and how is she coming into the
coaching
the Alabama?
Club is a disaster. Don't pull that up. I'm having a
good
real good morning.
I stuck with the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, thank you. I love that one. But the previous, the Oaks was great. The coaching club, the whole thing fell apart, and Lewis and I had a long talk. I gave him my best locker room speech after that one, and we don't want to change the style. She's a come from behind stalking type filly, and that's what you'll see from now on. So I think we're back on track. She's doing great, just absolutely great.
And one more thing I wanted to touch on the other night. You were participating at the sale the other night. We're going to take a look at hip number 114 going through the ring. $1.35 million, a son of Medaglia d'Oro, out of a nice stakes-winning mare, Walk Close. Talk a little bit about what attracted you to hip number 114 and what you're expecting in the future.
This was my number one yearling pick of the sale over there the other night. He was number one. A tremendous, tremendous balance and a great walk. We don't get to see it there, but if in showing him out, you know, at the barn table, the walk, and he just had everything. I was so impressed with it. And my good friend Bob Baffert and I talked. He loved him too. He thought he was the number one colt too. And I felt fortunate, believe it or not. I say this a little bit, but I was fortunate, I think, to get him for $1,350,000, because I thought we might have to go even further. But I I'd rather have him than three or four $400,000 ones that are, I think, going to chase him. I think this one will get me up at 3 o'clock again every day and get me out there in the morning. I love this colt.
And what's the game plan with a horse like that? Where does he go now, and when will he show up for you? And
he went to Kentucky right away the next day. He'll be there for 30 or 40 days just being a horse. We'll turn him out every day in his own paddock. He'll just graze and let it down and be a horse. Then we'll pick him up, and he'll go to Ocala to Brian Rice, one of the Rice family again. And Brian will break him and bring him along, and he'll send him to me March 1st. When we get back to Churchill in the spring, we get the yearlings up. So he'll be down in Ocala all winter with that good weather.
All right. So maybe we'll be looking for him up here at the
I sure hope he's up here and you're looking for him.
Yeah. All right.
Wayne, we haven't named him yet.
Wayne, we appreciate the visit. I know it's very busy up here at Saratoga. And, you've had a great season so far with the 7th Adirondack win and aiming for the Alabama coming up and participating across the street at the sale earlier this week. So we appreciate your taking the time this morning. Good luck on the upcoming meet as well.
I wish you guys all the best, too. I think this is so important to give people the other side, other than what the exact to pay.
Yeah, that's...
You do a great job, and you got to be getting new fans with the program like you run here.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because that is the game plan. I think it's Saratoga when we're up here. I say it very often. I think we are pulling in people who are new to the game, and I like to introduce them to people like you and give a little more of the old ABC up close and personal.
Well, sure, and there's so many shows that are telling you, are giving you their picks and what's the superfecta going to pay and the exact. Those people we already got in the grandstand that are listening and watching that, they're already locked in. We got to get the new one to sit in there and say, that was an interesting group that he had in today. Maybe we'll go out and watch it.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Great job.
Appreciate the visit.
Thank you.
Wayne Lucas. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will continue on Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
Four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection of one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. A fun interview with Wayne Lucas. Really appreciate his coming over here, but also appreciate when our friend Terry Finley comes over. Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. They have a milestone coming up. They participated at the sale. They have a runner tomorrow in the Arlington Million. We'll hit on that and much more. Terry, good morning.
It's great to be with you. I was thinking if I was in the TV business, I would think that'd be a pretty good day.
You got to be right
next to Wayne Lucas. I mean, I tell you, I think I speak for just about everybody in the business. We are proud to be in the same industry as Wayne Lucas. Yeah. Man, he's good people.
No, that was a lot of fun. I got to thank Tim Wilkin for kind of working him a little bit and getting him over here. That was a lot of fun to have Wayne Lucas. And again, whenever you get kind of the icons in the business to sit here, it's always a lot of fun. And you're an icon. You and West Point.
We will
move you closer to icon status with 1,000 wins for the stable, and we're that close, right?
Yeah. Well, we were I don't know, at 994, and we went about 50 days without a win. I was like, where are they coming from?
Always, yeah.
I talked to Steve Asmussen about it, and I'm taking a dead aim on him. It's going to take me about 150 years, but I'm taking dead aim. I'm sending it right now, Steve. We're coming at you.
And again, you have a couple of horses coming up today, right? I mean, so it's possible.
Possible today.
Yeah.
And you just think back. Look, it's a cool thing. But here again, you think about all the horses, right, that have performed over the last 31 years for us, and important, the most important aspect of the whole dynamic, and then the partners that have supported us. So I just say thank you to both of them.
Yeah.
And of course to the team. We have a big team across the country, and everybody's passionate. Everybody gets to work, and we all love what we do. So you want to talk about blessed. Wayne Lucas is blessed. I think we are as well.
Yeah, and we've talked to you for years and years now, and it's been fun to see the West Point partnership kind of grow and move forward and playing at the highest level of the game. And it's been fun to see you guys. I always have fun when you have a horse running and that big screen down in the clubhouse, all the West Point partners there. And then see partners have fun and get into the winner's circle at Saratoga. It's always talk a little bit about Saratoga, though, from a partnership angle. I don't think it's just you guys. I think Saratoga is really a mecca for partnerships because everybody wants to be in the paddock, the winner's circle, but also it's a great social atmosphere just participating in the mornings as well.
Yeah, we never want Saratoga to go away, and I'm sure it won't, but it's a special place, the first time you come over the hill. And it's done a lot over the year, especially in, say the last 10 years to recruit people to get into the business. And, there are, I think about Bob Edwards, he came up to the Saratoga sale, his friend, he had never been exposed to the business. And, now he's a big, big time player in the business. So this atmosphere and the sizzle and the excitement, it adds. And, we know that bettors and owners are the two entities that drive our business. So this place does a lot for both of those.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's get into it because you were participating across the street a little bit on Monday and Tuesday night, which is always a lot of fun. Some horses to look for in the future. Talk a little bit about it. First, we're going to pull up hip number 126, $2 million. I believe the sale's topping Philly, a daughter of Curlin out of America, which makes her a sibling too. First Captain, and I'm sure that attracted some attention from West Point. We'll talk First Captain a little bit in a few as well, but talk about hip number 126.
Well, I was thinking about the calendar. Obviously he's coming forward. He's having a good year, and I think it'll be a big test for him in the jockey club. I'm just glad we didn't have a shot to run him in the Whitney. I say that a tongue in cheek, but the fact if he would have won the Whitney, I'm not sure we would have afforded this filly. But it's an active family. Bobby Flay, you can't say enough about him. He loves the business. Obviously he's a star in across the world, but he really loves the horse business. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were just talking about all the things he does. He does things right across the spectrum, and I think it, you look at his breeding program and it's indicative. So it's cool. Obviously, hey, we're partners with Bobby Flay, but we're partners on something that he's produce with his team that, you know, I think they're going to be forces for a long time. And, you know, it's just really great to see what somebody like Bobby, you know, puts into the business and the attention he brings to the business. But there are other partners too. And, you know, I think of the Woodford partners and others that, you know, get in, are in on a good feel like this. So, you know, Shug McGee, he's going to train her. And you know, we're excited. We obviously know that we have a long way to go to get her to the races, and it's a long process. You better be patient. And if you're in the business and you're at this level, right, the last thing you can do is to be in a hurry.
And it, I love that. You know, if we'd run First Captain and the Whitney run well, maybe we can afford this one. I like that. Yet another one, also a big purchase over the 2-day sale, Son of Uncle Mo out of Secret Psy. That one attracts $1.5 million. We'll have a little video here. Hip number 68. Talk about that purchase.
So it's the same team, or a good portion of the same team as Flightline, a same breeder, a Jane Lyon. Of a Summer Wind Farm. So Bill Farish and, you know, his partnership, the Woodford partnerships are in, they're in involved. So there's a lot of good mojo there. And, you know, she's done an incredible job with those, you know, the high priced mares, and that team has been great. And, you know, when you see horses like that, you hope that you're in with a chance to buy them. And, you know, some of them you're going to pay a little bit of a premium. Others, I'm sure, will go to Keeneland and we'll try to get horses at a little bit of a discount. And that's the power of the partnership, because you put them all together and you go to the races in 2023 and beyond with some nice prospects that you hope have the chance and the inherent right to be at the top of the game.
How much of the partnership, how much of the partnership is developed when you start the bidding? You know, you've looked at the horses and you've discussed with the potential partners, we're all going to bid on this. How much is playing out maybe as you're in the process, and then how much happens, how many partners to maybe pull in afterwards?
It depends on the horse, Seth. And look, we're obviously, our job is to manage our risk, you know, so we're not going to go in and spend $2 million totally exposed and, you know, starting from square one. But it depends, and I think it's a really positive aspect and a development in our business that people, I think now by and large, the vast majority of individual owners are okay with the group ownership aspect, because it gives every, you know, those individuals a chance to get in on the big horses. And look, I don't know if the development is good or bad for the industry long term, but I mean, it is what it is. You know, the industry and the sales are demanding that people be creative. And I think, right, I don't know, but I think it's going to be positive, because it draws people in and it right, shows people that you can participate at the top end of the market, or try to participate, right, without, you know, assuming all the risk yourself. And I think that is the power of the partnership.
Yeah, there is definitely a little risk management involved, and I think that plays out in the partners. So it's just, as you say, it's part of the game at this point. All right, let's hit on some horses in review and preview. First, let's go back a few days, and you had a nice winner first out of the box, Battle of Normandy, a couple days ago. We'll watch the replay. Battle of Normandy will be the number 7 horse here. Again, first-time starter, trained by Shug. By City of Light, that sire going to be interesting to keep our eyes on. What are the thoughts, Battle of Normandy, on the career debut win, and what might be next?
Well, I thought it was good to get off the schneid, right? You always want to get off the schneid at Saratoga, as Tommy Bellhouse talks about all the time, before we get off the duck. But we bought this horse out of the sale last year, the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. We split the horse with the Woodford partnership. And, you know, we thought he showed up on the right day, and we think he's got a shot to get there. Obviously, you know, when you win going long on the grass at Saratoga, you're thinking about the Breeders' Cup, the turf, and we...
Woodbine?
That's, you know, obviously on play, and I think it's indicative of the fact that that people in America are starting to really kind of get their arms around turf racing. You know, we can come back in the with anticipation. We can go to Woodbine, we can go to Belmont, or we can go to Keeneland as a prep for the Breeders' Cup. So we'll, you know, Shug will pick the right spot, but I love the fact that we're starting to see turf racing is, you know, here to stay, and I think we all see that it's going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, the bettors love it too, so that plays into it. Let's get a little thought on tomorrow down at Churchill, the Arlington Million. You have Cavalry Charge in there. I went back a little bit and pulled up the Fairgrounds stakes back on February 19th. Cavalry Charge, upset winner at 35-1 in there. Comes off a second place finish most recently in a stake at, I still want to say Indiana Grand, but Horseshoe, Indiana, last time. So how's Cavalry Charge, how'd he come out of the Indiana race? And again, we're looking back at the win at the Fairgrounds, but how'd he come out of the Indiana race? How's he going into the Million tomorrow?
Well, sure glad that wire came up right here at the Fairgrounds. I didn't know that we got the job done here, but, you know, give all the credit to Dallas Stewart. You know, he's really liked this horse from the very beginning. We bought this horse up here at Phasic Tipton. 2018. So he's been a joy to be around. He tries hard, and he gives it to you every race. And, you know, I tell the partners, I mean, that's all you can expect of these horses, is they try and they give it to you. And, you know, oftentimes you get beat, but you walk out of the racetrack and you know that you've got a good effort from them. And I think we'll have a good effort, you know, out of this colt tomorrow in the Arlington Million.
Looking forward to it. First Captain, we're going to take a look at the Pimlico Special. It's always nice to win a venerable race like the Pimlico Special. First Captain got it done. And again, we just saw you picked up the Sibling the other night. I like the all comes full circle. But First Captain going to be the number 8 horse winning the Pimlico Special. Subsequently second last time in the Suburban. But I'm guessing Jockey Club Gold Cup is the game plan for First Captain.
That sure is. You know, we're excited. You know, he's taking a step forward. But all these older horses, you know, this is the time where they take that step forward, you know, and they're kind of in the chute, so to speak. And, you know, everybody's just waiting for the one or two that kind of put themselves in a position to get to the Breeders' Cup Classic. So we're excited. You know, we think it's a good race. You know, I'm sure that, you know, for $1 million going 1.25 miles, it'll be a tough spot. Some of those horses, probably from the Whitney, will come back. And the horse that beat us in the Suburban, Dynamic One, Todd's horse, will, you know, run in the Jockey Club. But, you know, we'll show up, and I think we'll give a great account of ourselves.
Looking forward to that. And everybody in the racing world looking forward to the Pacific Classic. And we can't let anybody from West Point Thoroughbreds get out without talking a little flight line. And going back to the Met Mile, which I think left everybody kind of with their jaws open. Flightline's going to be the number 1 horse here. The very good Speaker's Corner winds up 3rd. Happy Saver, who acquitted himself nicely the other day, was 2nd in this race. But Flightline, just with the, you know, the 4 starts in the career so far, they've all been jaw-dropping. Just talk a little Flightline and the Pacific Classic coming up.
You know, you know, there are times where I think about what to say, because obviously I'm asking about him a lot. We are humbled, you know, beyond belief to be part of this.
Oh, we should mention Purchase Up Here, though, right?
Purchased Up Here.
Yeah, nice.
As was our boy First Captain. So yeah, we're starting to really like this Phasic Tipton company. I don't know. They've been around a little while, but, boy, they do such a good job. And everybody, same thing. Everybody's passionate. They're great to work with. And it's a joy to see that team, you know, have success. But, you know, Flightline, we can't wait. Saturday, we'll be able to say it'll be 2 weeks, but we're going out there, and I think it'll be a great day, win, lose, or draw. But, you know, we're just in a very, very good spot. And look, I've thought for a lot of years, you know, what would it be like to have one of those horses that everybody talks about? I didn't know it was going to be this fun. And, you know, we're on a ride that is just incredible. And I will tell you, we fully expect to run him in 2023. So,
oh, okay.
Yep. That's the objective right now.
Right.
We said it here on the Seth Morrow Show. And we know that, that they're there's a great future, but obviously the two races, the Pacific Classic and then the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the vibes are very good, and we hope that we'll be talking about this horse for and this colt for a long time.
Very good. So that's I like that. Another year of some flight line potentially, but again, those next two races, and everybody is really waiting for the Pacific Classic, certainly. And Terry, I'm happy for you and the whole team, because again, I've known you and Tom Bellhouse, and now Jason Blue, a part of the team as well, and a great group. And as I say, it's always fun to watch you and the partners rooting for your horses out here at Saratoga. So to wind up with somebody like Flightline and a nice year this year with the first captain and entering tomorrow in the Arlington Million, it's great to see you guys doing as well as you are. And I am rooting for another couple victories so you can put that 1,000 win on the resume for West Point Thoroughbreds.
I am too. I can assure you that. I would love to get this thing past us, but it's exciting, and we love being part of this great industry, and we can't say enough. Like it's the best game ever, and we are humbled to be part of it. We really are.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.
Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds. Lisa Lazarus from HISA is in the house. We'll talk to her about the implementation of HISA. We also have the interns from the Saratoga Special. We'll catch up with them. All of that when a big edition of Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Deal set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stipe and running on now. And Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shoving Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shoving Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won at just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, happy to be joined now by Lisa Lazarus, the CEO of HISA, Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, yeah, based on the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's really great to be here.
Happy to have you here. And I was talking with Wayne Lucas, and I mentioned it. We get a lot of folks who are kind of new to the game, mm-hmm, as well as veteran fans, and right, I think the veteran fans are probably a little more familiar,
right,
but I think everybody, HISA is kind of new.
Right.
So talk a little bit about the legislation itself,
sure,
but also your organization as well, purpose of the legislation and kind of the mission of your organization.
Sure. The legislation was signed into law in December 2020, and essentially it was a response to some of the welfare and integrity issues that were present in horse racing. there was a feeling since horse racing has become increasingly national, you know, horses and trainers obviously go from state to state, that there was an obligation on the federal government to really try to do something to make sure that they could guarantee that horseism would be here, you know, for generations to come. It's got such a storied and important role in American history, and it needs to be here forever.
Economic impact, too.
A huge economic impact, right? And obviously, it's no surprise that the legislation was led by, you know, Mitch McConnell, Leader McConnell, and Senator Schumer, both obviously in two very important racing jurisdictions. The law was came into effect, and ultimately what the law did was it created an authority, which is the authority that I run, to essentially promulgate rules or present rules to the Federal Trade Commission that it would then promulgate in two buckets, racetrack safety and anti-doping medication control. And that's really our job, is to come up with rules that the Federal Trade Commission, which is our oversight agency, will approve, that then allow us to try to improve things. And so on July 1, we implemented the racetrack safety program, and we are going to implement an anti-doping medication control program on January 1, 2023.
Where are you guys based?
We're based in Lexington, Kentucky, is where our headquarters are.
And how big is your organization right now? And is that an ongoing, changing kind
so,
of thing?
Yeah, I mean, so when I only started on February 15th, and I was the first employee. And we had a number of consultants that were supporting us. Right now, we're currently 5 full-time employees, and we're going to grow, obviously, a little bit more to be able to reach what we need.
And
to
what
do.
Is your game? Are you guys moving out and visiting tracks a lot, or are you based in Lexington and kind of overseeing from there? Or again, is that kind of a work in progress
yeah.
as well?
So that's all a work in progress. You know, we a number of us are not actually based in Lexington. You know, we are engaging with stakeholders. We're going to important meetings. We're, you know, presenting our rules. A huge part of this is education.
Yeah.
You know, is being able to explain, like, what it is, why it is, and why it's important, right? And actually, you know, a big part of my role is trying to explain to those who are impacted by the rules how much this is actually going to help them long term. You know, HISA can really be a platform, a shield to protect the industry so that the horsemen can continue doing what they love to do and not have to worry about, you know, making sure that we're being mindful of horse welfare and obviously integrity.
Yeah, and always in prep for the show, I do some research and
sure.
try to listen to interviews and whatnot.
Yeah.
I was listening to one, and I think you made a great point. You know, we've talked on this show and some of the other venues I'm on about the last, whatever, 5-10 years, something hits the racing industry and it seems like there isn't a central place for outside media to go to get the racing industry
yeah.
to respond.
Right.
You'll now be that place where folks can get the answers.
Exactly, and that allows us to, I think, communicate as an industry in a much more coordinated effort with one voice, right? I think one of the things that's lost us some credibility over the years is that we've talked in so many different voices from different states and sort of a patchwork of regulations. So having one set of regulations and one authority, I really believe is going to help the industry long term.
And you're in town. We were talking before you sat down. I always consider Saratoga kind of the crossroads of the horse racing industry, you know, year in and year out.
Yeah.
You get the top trainers and the top jockeys and the top owners, but also industry professionals like yourself for the round table and the Albany Law Symposium.
Right.
You're here for the round table
and
some other meetings as
and
well.
Exactly. And I'm really happy to be here. And it's a great, you know, Saratoga is magical. You know, when you're, you know, we spend a lot of time in front of a computer and reading documents. And when you come here and you look around, you're like, this is what it's all about. It really, it's incredibly inspiring and motivating to be here.
Yeah, and I talked again with Wayne Lucas and every trainer I get in. The fans up here are so knowledgeable, and I think they appreciate hearing from someone like you on this, which is going to have kind of an overarching feeling over the industry. And I'm curious, it was implemented on July 1st, mm-hmm. so we're, you know, a month and a half in, six weeks.
Right.
How has the first 5 or 6 weeks gone?
So, listen, I'm really pleased with where we are, given where we started in the short timelines. There's obviously a lot we need to do to be better. We've registered approximately 36,000 horses and about 33,000 people, which is really significant, and that was a tremendous effort. We are enforcing our regulations in every state. We have agreements with 17 out of 21 racing commissions that we currently oversee, and then we have other ways of inventing our rules in the other jurisdictions. So it's really, you know, it's going well. We're getting good feedback. There are some rules that are not working perfectly, and we're going to reevaluate those. You know, this is the beginning of a conversation, the beginning of a regulatory system. It's not, you know, the be-all and end-all, and we understand that, and we're going to evolve to be the best version of of the regulation.
Seems like from what I've heard from you and the authority is that, you know, we're open to the feedback and we'll tweak as we go along. I'm curious, earlier in the meet I had Joe Applebaum, president of New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association here, and I said, how's HISA going for your people? And he said, you know, for us in New York, a lot of the things that they're implementing, we've kind of been doing those, so it wasn't that much of a... But I'm wondering, are there challenges maybe some of the other jurisdictions around the country?
Yeah, I mean, there are. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you're aware that there are a couple of jurisdictions that have actually filed a lawsuit because they don't want to be covered by HISA, and understandably, we're struggling there. We're struggling in a couple other jurisdictions where the racing commissions are really not behind the effort. You know, we obviously need to, for it to be really effective, there needs to be a bit of a partnership there. But listen, HISA's here to stay. It's federal law, you know, and so I think over time we're going to be able to work through those challenges, because I think the moment in time to push back on HISA has really passed, you know.
And that's kind of what Joe said, too. Yeah. He said, for anybody who's out there complaining, it's here. Let's make it work.
Yes.
And I think that's the game plan. And for years and years, horse racing people and horse racing media have said, you know, if we had a one authority, because there was the rules over here and the rules over here, which was causing a lot of consternation.
Right.
And for outside forces, they didn't necessarily understand that. So I think this is a benefit to the industry to have that one group that oversees nationally.
I'd like to say one thing about NYRA and NYTHA, I think is important because we're here in New York, is they've really been the best kind of advocates for their constituents, because they have pushed back and they have complained when they're not happy about something. But they do it in the spirit of, let's get to the right answer and let's find a solution. You know, those who are complaining and yelling but actually don't explain why and don't explain how to do it better, it's very hard to be receptive to those groups. You know, but NYTHA and NYRA and the THA, they've really been incredibly sort of, constructive about their comments. It's not that they're not advocating for the people. They're very strong advocates, but they do it in a way that's intelligent and it gets far better results.
Yeah, because it's here, and let's all make it work. Let's all join in and make it work. And speaking of that, implemented on July 1st, you mentioned more gets implemented the beginning of the year, and talk a little bit about the future and what you see as we progress, you know, a year out and beyond.
Yeah. So, again, really excited about the racetrack safety program. We've only implemented a portion of it at this stage, but a lot of what that program is about is collecting anonymized data around, you know, horse injury, horse breakdowns, and trying to essentially use that data to give information back to the industry to help everyone. Because, you know, we strongly believe, and if you look around, I think there's lots of examples of this, that horsemen want to treat their horses well. They want to do best by them. And so if we can give them more information, more tools on how to do that, I think that's going to be helpful. And I actually think what everyone's really been waiting for is the anti-doping program to take effect and for us to occupy that space. Because uniformity there is desperately, desperately needed. And I think, you know, everyone's going to have sort of breathe a sigh of relief when we have a program that's robust, that's working, that's quick. You know, that you have results and you have, you know, clarity really, really quickly and efficiency, that's going to make a really big difference to the industry. And what I see is down the road, you know, for me, it's people no longer questioning whether HISA should exist. And horse racing having the respect that a lot of other sporting leagues have on these integrity issues, because we have one central authority that's accountable, you know. And that's what, you know, our job is to be accountable.
I asked the guys in the control room to pull up the website address, so if people are curious and want to know more about it, they can go to the HISA website and find out
more.
When I visited that, one thing I want to ask you, that the people who are unfamiliar, not horse racing people, but horse racing fans, there's the talk of registration, there's the talk of being covered and covered horses. What does that exactly mean, registering and being covered?
So you are covered as a horse if you race in a thoroughbred horse race that exports its signal for parimutuel wagering. That's our connection to interstate commerce, is the exportation. And also if you've been entered to race in a covered horse race. So that's the horse piece. And then if that's the case, the trainer needs to register that horse with HISA before it could actually run in a covered horse race. A covered person is someone who is licensed by a state racing commission.
So owners would be in that category?
Yes, as long as they own more than 5% of a horse.
Okay.
And engage with the horse. So it doesn't cover like food vendors and stuff that might be licensed in certain states but don't actually interact with the horse.
Very good. And again, PISA just went into effect essentially about a month and a half or so ago. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. And from the folks I have talked to, everybody, and again, maybe New York's a little different than some of the other jurisdictions, but everybody seems to be kind of on board. And again, I think it's here, so let's make it work. And you guys are open to kind of tweaking things around. And so got our fingers crossed that this gets to where we on the horse racing side of the game, the participants and the media as well, have kind of been hoping over the last few years to have just more uniformity. And I think that's where we're aiming for, hopefully, with FISA.
For sure. Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Lisa Lazarus, CEO from the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, implementing the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act.
We should have changed that last letter for one of those names, right?
I just kind of realized that last night, but it all works out. And we appreciate your stopping by to fill us in, and wish you the best going forward.
Thank you.
All right, we will take our break when we come back. Saratoga Special, they're always joining us on Fridays. We will be joined by their interns. As I say, the internship at the Saratoga Special, a pipeline into the industry, folks like Gabby Gaudette, Travis Stone, and more. And we'll catch up with the latest interns right after this. Stay tuned.
Generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back. As promised before the break, the intern, current, the 2022 interns from the Saratoga Special, closest to me, Tim Litow, and on the end, Spencer Ripchick. Welcome.
Yep, thanks for having us, Seth. Yeah, we're happy to be on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Happy to have you on. And last night I was kind of checking, your Twitter feeds, and Spencer, I'll start with you. It looks, are you guys both still in college?
Yeah, I'm going into my junior year of college at Penn State, yeah.
And...
yeah, I'll be a senior at Marquette.
And it looks like you both participate in kind of sports media at school as well, right, Spencer?
Yeah, so I work for the school's newspaper called the Daily Collegiate, and I covered the basketball team in the fall, or in the winter last year, and now I'm covering the football team, so I'm, like, super involved in that. And last week I actually had to miss the Whitney because Penn State's media day was Saturday too, which is kind of a bummer, but I had to go down to State College, Pennsylvania to do that, yeah.
What were they thinking when they scheduled the same day as the Whitney? That seems great. That, I always thought, I talk to people too who have a relative get married during the Saratoga meet, and they're always like, what was my brother thinking of? I wanted to be at the races that day, so we can all relate. And also sports media at school?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I host a radio show about horse racing and motorsports for our radio station. And then for our TV station, I'm also the executive news producer. So I'm kind of in charge of our weekly newscast and planning all of that and a lot of fun stuff with that, yeah.
So what are you majoring in?
Journalism and digital media.
All right. Spencer?
I'm digital and print journalism with a minor in sports studies.
Digital. I graduated from the Newhouse School at Syracuse. There was no digital media back then, so it's a whole new world. But there's a lot of digital media involved with the Saratoga Special, because besides the print edition, now there are the days when it's not in print. You can catch it online as well at thisishorseracing.com. And I'll ask you each, what was the game plan and how did you hear about the special, and what was the impetus for applying and trying to get the internship up here? We'll start with you, Tim.
Yeah, well, Amplify Horse Racing is an organization working to create pathways for young people to get into the industry. And I participated in a mentorship program last summer through the fall. And my mentor was Tom Law, our editor at the Saratoga Special. So he's a fantastic guy. I've known him for about a year. And so that's how I met him. And, you know, he said, yeah, you know, we'd love to have you come work for us. And it's a great opportunity, and I've enjoyed every day.
Yeah, and then speaking of Amplify, I didn't mention Anise was a graduate of the Saratoga Special internship as well. Spencer, what got you involved?
So actually, I live like right down the street over there.
Ah, okay.
My house is right there, so I've grown up in Saratoga, so I knew about the Saratoga Special. And I looked at internships all over the place, Syracuse, but I was too far. So my dad was like, "Wait, why don't you go work at the Saratoga Special?" So I pretty much just emailed Tom like, "Hey, can I possibly internship?" We met like in March about at Spot Coffee downtown. We talked a little bit about what was going to happen, and then early in like June, he's like, "Hey, you want to come do it?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" So then I got into it, and I've been doing it since.
Tom said you're headed back to school shortly, though, right?
Yeah, I actually, bummer, I have to leave after the races today. So I'll be at the track today covering the races, but as soon as the races are done, I have to go home, back to school.
Well, then I'm glad we caught you guys, because again, I have been up here in years where there's been a whole slew, but with the pandemic and kind of cutting down the production schedule, it's a little more limited. So it's you two guys, which I'm assuming means you are at work and plenty of words in the newspaper every day. Talk a little bit about it and take us through a typical day for you as a special intern.
Yeah, well, typically in the mornings we'll start by going around the backstretch and talking to trainers. Especially if we're working on like a race preview, like we'll want to, you know, talk to them, you know, kind of get like a deeper story. Our papers might come out, you know, only, 3 days after a race, or, you know, so we're trying to find stories that, you know, that have a really nice, like, long-term feel to them.
The Saratoga Special angle, I call it.
So we're trying to find a deeper angle, and that's what we're all about, trying to, you know, talk to trainers, sometimes owners, too. We get really nice stories from the owners as well. That's what we do in the morning.
Yeah, so our days kind of vary. They could start at like 5:30 in the morning, and they could start at like as the races start, 12:30, and then probably our like latest days are usually the days the paper came out, and especially during around the sales we happened last week or this week, and those usually go to like midnight or sometimes like that. But
it is a long day with the Saratoga Special, obviously. Having talked with Joe and Sean over the years, and now Tom Law. Used to be even longer when there was a little, but there wasn't the digital angle where you could just send a file to the printer. They had to like take things to the printer and pick things up. So it was even a longer day, but it's still very long, and it's a great publication, and I will again recommend it to people. You can pick it up on track, you can pick it up around town, but again, you can also check it out if you're not in the vicinity at thisishorseracing.com as well. So
it's free too.
That's a very important point. But how's the summer been working out so far?
It's been phenomenal. It's been such a blast, and just the experiences and the opportunities and the access that we get is unbelievable. Last week, Godolphin had two runners, one in the Saratoga Derby, one in the Saratoga Oaks, and in one of the mornings, I was able to ride around with their assistant trainer, Chris, and he took me around, you know, the backside. We watched him work out. You know, I spent an hour with him, and it was unbelievable. You know, and these are horses, you know, over from Europe too. So,
were you a racing fan?
Yeah, very much so.
Well, and I'm assuming if you grew up in Saratoga, Spencer, you were a racing fan, so the access has to be...
Yeah, all my family members are big racing fans, and they're jealous because I get to be in the winner's circle of the paddock on a daily basis talking to some of the biggest trainers in horse racing.
How much content do you guys put in a single paper?
So we kind of ramped up as we've gotten more experience. So every paper, him and I will do, it's called a race recap, which is pretty much anything we see during like the normal races, the maiden claimings, anything that pops out. Like yesterday, Maria Mann, she won with her only horse that she's had. Oh. So we did a story on her, and the horse is actually given to her as a gift too. So we did a story on her.
Now I'm going to have to read that story.
Yeah, cool little story there. But now we've been starting to do previews for the big races. Like I do one for the 4-star Dave. He's doing one too. And then we're doing stakes recaps now. We both have one today. So yeah, we've definitely ramped up our production as well.
So I'm guessing from your majors, you're looking at media. But I'm curious, are you looking to continue in horse racing, or is that not necessarily the future? But what's the game plan when you leave school?
Yeah, I definitely am. Yeah, I'd love to be a turf writer or a broadcaster. I've done a lot of broadcast work in my time at Marquette, so that's definitely something that I hope to be able to continue. But yeah, I certainly hope to be able to cover horse racing and all the great, you know, people and animals that make the sport what it is.
Spencer?
Yeah, I think horse racing is super cool because everyone at Penn State, nobody covers horse racing. Nobody even really knows too much about horse racing from there. But so I think it's a really cool sport to get into, and this internship has given me such a big head start because I've already, like, talked to all these big trainers, made relationships with them, so it'd be pretty easy to get into that field from this internship.
I can relate when you say the people at Penn State aren't, because I graduated from Syracuse, and I can remember being out there and saying to people, yeah, I'm into racing, and they're like, oh, those cars are good. No, not that kind, or that's not what I'm talking about. So I can totally relate to that. And just before I let you go, I've talked about, you know, the Saratoga Special being a pipeline into the industry with Gabby Gaudette and Travis Stone and whatnot, and Pete Fornital and Brian Edo weren't necessarily interns, but they participated at the Saratoga Special as well. So I wonder if you've looked down the legacy and kind of think, yeah, that I call it the baby flying start program, the kind of propelling people into the horse racing industry. So have you looked at, you know, the graduates and kind of appreciate that aspect?
Yeah, we've definitely you know, seen the lists and the photos. We have this, we have a wall of fame in the office with all these photos of the graduates. So we've definitely you know, known a lot of the big names there, and you know, we've heard a lot of stories about them too. So just a lot of fun times and memories at the Saratoga Special.
Yeah, it's Spencer.
Yeah, yeah, Tom, definitely every single time he sees, oh, there's so-and-so, we go and talk to them, and they're like, oh yeah, this is one of the best experiences you can ever have. And yeah, like you said, we have a wall of fame too. So yeah, Tom definitely like introduces us to all of them, and they're all doing big things now. He's always like, oh yeah, this person, look at them now.
One of the graduates is with CNN now, I think. Yeah, so it's not just it isn't just racing journalism. They have produced a number, and I am rooting for you guys. So you're graduating this coming year. You got a couple years left.
Yeah, so I potentially could be back next year to do this internship again if Tom wants me back.
I think it's probably a good bet because I see you guys up in the press box all the time, and I envy your enthusiasm and kicking things off. And again, I think it's fun to be part of the Saratoga Special with now their legacy, and just reading some of the stuff you guys have done too. I will applaud your work as well. But appreciate your stopping in this morning. And again, wanted to introduce the audience to the current interns, because given what's happened before, watch for these guys down the line and much bigger and better things. But congratulations on so far this season. Good luck going forward. Appreciate the visit this morning.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, we'll wrap it up for this Friday edition of Racing Across America. Great racing today on a beautiful, this may be the best day so far.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you have to leave town on
the best day.
I didn't mean to rub that in. But all right, again, great day if you want to come up and enjoy the races. Also, you can go down to the Racebook or your local OTB or Fire Up Capital OTB Bet and enjoy that way, sitting on your patio. But great racing this afternoon. So enjoy it here on the network. Don't forget, tomorrow we're back with the morning programming, 9 a.m. with the Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. with Racing Across America. So we appreciate your tuning in today. Enjoy the racing this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support.
You're watching OTB TV. a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.